5 plastic grocery bags stuffed with plastic for every foot of coastline in the world. This figure is much higher than originally thought due to the fact that much of the plastics sink to the bottom of the ocean and are hidden in remote places that the scientists have not sampled in their studies. China, Indonesia, the Philippines, Vietnam, and Sri Lanka are responsible for more than half of the plastics in the ocean. There is only one industrialized Western country on the list, the United States, at number 20. The plastic trash from the United States and Europe are coming in the form of litter. It's predicted that if the developing Asian nations do not learn to clean up their plastic debris, then by 2025, the accumulated amount of plastic trash in the oceans will reach about 170 million tons.
The World Bank has released the newest findings on the amount of gas flaring that occurred worldwide last year. The process of flaring burns off gas and natural gas that is released during the drilling and extraction of oil, but not captured by the drilling method. The findings show that flaring burned over 140 billion cubic meters of gas last year, creating over 350 million tons of carbon dioxide. That amount of carbon dioxide is equal to the emissions from more than 70 million cars. The flared gas is contaminated with numerous toxic compounds and cancer-causing carcinogens and is a prime contributor to acid rain. The world's largest flarers by country are Russia, America, Nigeria, Iran, Iraq, and Venezuela. Processes do exist to capture the gas that is flared, but are economically costly and cut into corporate profits. The global community and countries worldwide have recognized for years the dangers of flared gas, and in 2002 created the Global Gas Flaring Reduction Partnership. The organization has a goal of eliminating all flaring by the year 2030. Despite small gains in decreasing flaring in recent years, the drop in oil prices has caused many oil drilling sites to start flaring again in order to cut costs.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Nico Kwiatkowski, Jimmy Tardy, and Joanna Peterson. Our engineer tonight is also Jimmy Tardy. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. Or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard about on the news tonight, here are their numbers, so grab something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. The number for Oregon's new governor, Kate Brown, is 503-378-3111. And Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, at K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR in Hood River at 91.9 FM. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. 8 a.m. on Voices from the Edge, host Joanne Hardesty speaks with retired Oregon Supreme Court Justice Paul DeMunez about the newly formed Community Oversight and Advisory Committee that is responsible for ensuring the successful implementation of the U.S. Department of Justice Settlement Agreement for the Portland Police Bureau. At 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Per Fagerang speaks with journalist Robert Perry of Consortium News about Ukraine, plus the bizarre ascendancy of the neocons. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines and interviews and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones speaks with Joshua Samuel Brown, author of the new book, How Not to Avoid Jet Lag and Other Tales of Travel Madness. And at 11:30, on the Radio Zine, host Paul Rowland speaks with Helena Norberg Hodge, director of Local Futures, author of Ancient Futures, and producer of the Economics of Happiness film about the upcoming Economics of Happiness conference in Portland. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you missed our recent membership drive, you can still join by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
time for KABU News from the Boo with
Mike
and
Monica Beamer.
Hello, news listeners. It is that time again. If you're just joining us, every Wednesday right after the news, we go straight into News from the Boo, our weekly program covering issues of interest to the KABU community in the station and in the greater community. We are joined today by Mike Crenshaw, and also we have a very special guest in the studio today. We're joined by Kevin Jones, who is the artistic director and co-founder of the Red Door Project. Hello to both of you.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good to be here.
Good to have you, man. So before we get into it, Kevin, I wanted to just say thank you so much to all who donated their time, love, and support and became members during the recent KABU Winter Membership Drive. We were just short of our goal, but we're still in the black. So thank you all the new members and those that renewed your membership and the volunteers who came down here and answered phone and helped in a myriad of ways. So I'm excited, Kevin. You let me know about what's going on with the August Wilson Monologue Project, and I wanted to have you down to talk about it. So why don't you tell us what's happening?
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Michael. And, you know, I just want to say that I love KABU. I love what you guys are doing down here, and I'm always blown away by how much you get done with volunteers and the amount of support that you get from the community and how much support you give people like us nonprofits who are just trying to get the word out. And, you know, we work on a limited budget, so thank you so much for just having me here.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the August Wilson Monologue Competition. So background, August Wilson is a playwright, African-American playwright. His father was white and his mother was black. He was born in Pittsburgh. And just a little bit of background information about him. He was in the 10th grade. He was in high school and he had to write a essay about Napoleon. And his teacher looked at it and said, "Well, this is 26 pages of writing. How in the world could you have done this? What do you know?" And his teacher accused him of plagiarizing. And so August Wilson took the essay with him and left the school and never came back. That was at the 10th grade. And he got his education at Carnegie Library in Pittsburgh, where he was taken under the wings of, you know, educators, teachers, librarians, philosophers, and introduced to a body of literature, plays, poems, classics. And from that, he decided he was going to be a writer. And he first started with poems, and then he started writing plays. And from that, he wrote 10 plays. He wrote many plays, but he wrote 10 plays. It's called The Century Cycle, the Pittsburgh Century Cycle. And that is one play for every decade, starting with the 1900s all the way to 1990, depicting the African-American experience. No playwright from anywhere has ever done anything like that before. He wrote all those plays, and then in 1995, he died. And that was while he was sick, he had liver cancer, and he was diagnosed with liver cancer while writing his last play, which was about gentrification in Pittsburgh. All of his plays went on to Broadway. They all went to regional theaters. And it's, you know, he's one of the best kept secrets in the United States, as far as I'm concerned. There's so many people, not just lay people who have no contact with the theater, but also some theater people have never heard of him. So when he died, two men from Atlanta, Georgia, said they wanted to pay tribute to him and his work by giving school kids an opportunity to take these words and put them in their mouths. So August Wilson, what he did was he embraced the African-American vernacular like nobody else. So I grew up in New York City, and I used to hear winos on the street, and they'd be talking, you know, in the barbershops and singing doo-wop, and my parents would say, "Don't talk like that. That's you talk like that when you haven't been educated. You sound dumb when you talk like that." And I believed them. And one day I heard James Earl Jones on Broadway performing Fences, and I said, "Man, he sounds just like my dad. He sounds just like the cats in the library. I mean, not the library, in the barbershop and on the streets playing craps." And I thought, wow, and it changed my life. It changed my life dramatically. And I started to really embrace the vernacular. And so did he. And all of his plays are about plain, ordinary, simple African-American people, starting with post-slavery all the way in through gentrification, the civil rights movement, and the blues music and the rock and roll period. All of that he wrote about in a way that embraced and celebrated the African-American culture. So the monologue competition, the August Wilson monologue competition, is an opportunity for young, not just African-Americans, but white, Asian, Latino kids to take the language, the words of August Wilson, which have been compared to Shakespeare, and deliver these incredible monologues. One of the things he was famous for was writing these long, robust, luscious monologues that just seemed to go on forever, talking about mundane stuff, but it was beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah. And so these kids are going to, we got 19 of them, and they're going to perform at Portland Center Stage on March 2nd, Monday night, from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And the top three are going to go to New York to perform at the August Wilson Theater, which is on Broadway, to compete with the winners in the other 9 cities.
Wow.
And those cities are New York, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Boston, Chicago, San Antonio, Texas, Greensboro, North Carolina, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Portland. And I don't think I left anybody out. So yes, in New York. So it's pretty exciting. And this is the second year we've done it, and we've already sold out. So it's all, we're taking rush tickets now. So anybody that wants to come, please come. And just because a lot of schools have just, I think, have reserved more tickets than they actually need. So, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm going on.
I'm so excited. Like, just listening to you talk about it, I'm imagining being a young person that's involved in this. I don't think I could sleep at night. And exactly. I can't wait to come down. I reserve my seat.
Yeah,
this is free and open to the public. But like Kevin said, unfortunately, it's sold out. So I can't wait to witness that. And KBOO is proud to co-sponsor that. I want to thank you for coming by, Kevin.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
And once again, what time and what date and what
7
location?
O'clock, March 2nd at Portland Center Stage. That's at the Girding Theater in downtown Portland. 7 to 10 o'clock. Show up.
Did all the kids who are participating, did they choose their own material to do the monologues?
Yeah, for the most part. You know, there were a couple of times where we actually asked them to shift, to change, because we had so many students who actually wanted to do the same monologue. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we mix it up, but not often, just twice actually.
How long have they been working on preparing the monologues?
Well, we selected them in early January, actually. Out of 50 kids, we picked 19. And from that point on, we've conducted master classes. So every Saturday we have a 3-hour master class. So we're right now we're about to do the 5th master class this coming Saturday. So for total will be 6 weeks. 6 weeks of working with us.
So these are going to be pretty polished then.
Yeah, and we have Russell Hornsby, who is the star of Grimm, who is also a lead teaching artist with us, and Chantel DeGroat, who is a local name actress who's been all over town. She was in Piano Lesson at Portland. Piano Lesson is also an August Wilson play at Portland Playhouse. And both of them, Chantel is running the show, are working with these kids and getting them ready, drilling their monologues. Some of them have been getting one-on-one training. It's been, they're playing, they're in it to win it, I'd say.
And this is the second year you've put this competition on, is that right?
That's right. It's the second year in Portland.
So can you talk a little bit about what you've seen this do for kids to be involved in this?
Yeah. Well, you know, as I said, it's just really great for kids, for us to teach them about African American culture in a way that meets them where they are. And what I mean by that is they're reading the plays, and these plays are about, you know, what happened historically in the African American culture from, like I say, post-slavery all the way through to 1995. So in order to participate in the competition, they have to understand what's going on in that culture. Like if some of the kids are, some kids are, do, are reciting a monologue from a play in the 1960s. Well, that was the civil rights movement. So you imagine for a high school youth who's learning about civil rights, Martin Luther King, and all of the confusion with the conflict between Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and how so many African Americans were distrusting, for example, of the civil rights movement and why that was so. And so kids are really starting to understand, you know, firsthand what's going on, what has been going on in our culture. And it's not, again, just for African Americans, it's for white kids. What's really great for Portland, because there's so much segregation that goes on here, is that we are working with white students and black students and brown students, and they're all coming together to share this experience about the African-American culture.
Right on. Well, hey, man, we ran out of time because you had some good stuff to
share.
No, that's awesome. I'm stoked about this.
Oh, boy.
And we'll talk about David Barsamian, who's going to be at the Clinton Street Theater March 4th. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But okay. Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. And thank you, Kevin Jones.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.